Good morning.
Good morning.
Delighted to see you. I've got a question for you. You don't have to answer it, just think about this question. If you were granted one wish, just one, what would your choice be? What do people really, really want? Well, one clever answer to that question might be a lot more wishes. But these have been named as a few favourites. They're in no particular order, and they're all understandable to a greater or a lesser degree. Some of you here this morning would wish for good health. It's no surprise that those with constant and major health concerns just wish for better days, free from pain and anxieties. My doctor knows me well. We're on first name terms nowadays. Last time I went, he said, "Hello, Roy. What's the problem this time?" I got something through the post this week. It was from Specsavers, reminding me about the next appointment. I know you're surprised looking at this fit human being this morning, but I take tablets for this, that, and the other. And you probably noticed that recently I have hearing aids, and they have to be cleaned and changed and improved about twice a year. So some of you, like me, maybe wish for good health. Some of you, many people, wish for fame. We live in a world that celebrates the celebrity culture. Numerous TV programs, there's Celebrity Pointless, Celebrity Chefs, Celebrity Antique Road Trips, and the list goes on and on. Now, it might be me, but when I see these programs, and it's a celebrity program, I've not got a clue who they are. They're unknown to me. But that doesn't apply to Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift, I understand, has 283 million followers worldwide. You're not looking at one of them. Many people wish for peace. We've been reminded in prayer about the conflicts in the world today. In looking at this, I was reminded in this, the 21st century, there's 54 wars going on in 193 countries as we're in this place this morning. There's countless multitudes too numerous to mention who are longing for cessation of conflict and better days. I wonder if you wish for the next one. Happiness. Now, I did not know this until recently, but this is a date you should put in your diary, and it's March the 20th every year, is the International Day of Happiness. There's something for your diary. The UN General Assembly first declared this special day as a reminder that seeking happiness is a fundamental human right. Now, I am speaking to a certain age group this morning who might remember this song by Ken Dodd. It went like this: happiness, happiness, the greatest gift that I possess. Isn't that a lovely thought? But Ken Dodd was wrong. Ken Dodd was wrong. I wonder if you wish for this one. attractiveness. Looking good and feeling good too. And being pampered is a big business in the UK. The market value of skincare products in the UK is £2.2 billion. Fragrances, £1.7 billion a year, and quite a lot of those are for men. I wonder if you wish for this one. Knowledge. I don't quite know where to begin with that subject, because it's something that never stands still and it's forever moving on. Always something new to expand our minds. Some of us will wish for this. Usefulness. Oscar Wilde said this, that youth is wasted on the young. Have you got that, George? There's some truth in that, isn't there? Those days when we had energy to spare. Again, sadly, I remember a song from long ago. I'll just sing the first, no, I won't. It's a song by somebody called Mary Hopkins, and she said this, "Those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. But they have passed and they've gone." Would you wish for this? Wealth. Whatever you see, whatever you want, you can buy. Elon Musk is said to be the richest person in the world. His wealth fluctuates from day to day, but the last estimate of Elon Musk's wealth is $360 billion. We live in a world where the media constantly shouts for our attention. Health, fame, peace and happiness. People wishing for these things. What you won't see and never will see is an ad encouraging you, aspiring to seek after what God says should be a priority in your life and in mine. Solomon, the son of the great King David, he's just been crowned king, and one night, as we've been reminded in the reading, God came to him in a dream. Still a young man with many hopes and many dreams. And he's given what we might call today a blank check to fill in. And God says to him, "Ask me for whatever you want me to give you, and I will give it to you." Well, I'm very well impressed with Solomon. I've got to confess, not in his later years, but maybe that's for another time. But here he shows maturity well beyond his years. He declines wealth and declines riches and he declines fame, and he prioritizes, and surprisingly, considering his position, he asks for wisdom. God was so pleased that he gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. In Proverbs it says this, "Get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. Wisdom supreme. Therefore, get wisdom." Sophocles said that. That wisdom outweighs any wealth. People travelled far and near to hear Solomon talk, marvelling at his answers. His fame spread through many nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs. His songs numbered 1,005. He described plant life. He also talked about animals, birds, reptiles, and fish. Men of all nations came to listen to Solomon, who had heard of his wisdom. The Queen of Sheba travelled 1,500 miles, bringing her lavish gifts, asking Solomon hard questions, and she discovered how wise he was. Well, the question that you may ask this morning is, what is wisdom? The dictionary says this, that wisdom is the ability to make sound judgment and decisions based on knowledge, experience, and discernment. Wisdom shouts in the streets, it cries out in the public square, it calls to the crowds along the main street, those gathered in front of the city gate. Nice and quiet in here this morning, but we live in an age of noise. But God's voice is the sound of silence. Creation shouts of God's silent wisdom. I love spring. I see things that were dead and dormant and having no life, refreshed and renewed. How people can't believe in resurrection surprises me. Creation's voice proclaims it. For by his power, each tree and flower was planned and made. Jesus is Lord, the universe declares it, sun, moon, and stars cry, Jesus is Lord. But sadly, the majority of people walk on by. They're deafened by lesser sounds. In the Bible, we discover something. You'll find the secret of wisdom. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The unfolding of your word gives light, it gives understanding. I stand before you this morning. I plead guilty too often to misplaced and lesser affections in my life, and I'm sure some of you can share that. Robert Foss wrote a famous poem. It was called The Road Less Taken. It went like this. Two roads diverged in a wood. I took the one less traveled by. That made all the difference. We're reminded this morning that wisdom is the road less traveled. It's sought by the few and not by the many. Isn't it sad at the end of one's life to maybe discover that you've been travelling along the wrong road? It's known as the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. As Christians, we believe the center of wisdom is belief in God as revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ. But you look in vain in the dictionary for that description. The center of wisdom is belief in God as revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ. In the Bible, wisdom is not something abstract. It's not a theory. It's identified and it's personalized. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom of God. The coming of Jesus Christ as God in human flesh was the greatest display of God's wisdom. Let me say that again. The coming of Jesus Christ as God in human flesh was the greatest display of God's wisdom. A team of researchers calculated that you make an average of 122 informed choices each and every day. Now, you didn't know that. That's 854 a week. That's 1,248 informed choices in a year. Is it little wonder that this morning we're focusing on wisdom and prioritizing it to remind our hearts? In the Bible, the book of Proverbs emphasizes that the greatest quality that you can possess, that I can possess, is wisdom. It's number one. Proverbs 4:7 says, though it cost all you have, get understanding. It's the strongest theme in the book of Proverbs, a book that's been called the Book of Wisdom. Proverbs starts and ends like two bookends, and in the middle, focusing on wisdom. I'd like to do something for me today. I'd like, when you get home sometimes today, to read Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs is a book which substitutes wisdom for knowledge, and they're not the same. Week by week, month by month, year by year, in this place, we believe that the best, the most important decision any person can make is accepting Jesus Christ in their life as Savior, seeking His forgiveness for their sins, making a commitment to follow Him as Lord of their life. Now, there might be somebody here this morning who has yet to make such a wise decision. Why not stay after this service? Just stay a little bit longer. Folk here will pray with you and for you and help you to begin a new life with Jesus Christ in the heart of it. Don't rush away afterwards. Just stay and talk. Dan Walker, most of you know, he says this: being a Christian is a very big part of my life. For me, it underpins everything I am and everything I want to be. I think I can hear a silent amen to that. He's only 12, and Jesus is not yet a teenager. And he's in the temple among the educated and religious leaders of the day. He's listening to them. He's asking them questions. He speaks. And it says this: that everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And he's 12. Later, as an adult, a woman is caught in adultery and dragged before him, and the mob shouting for her to be stoned. And the wisdom of Jesus just stills and calms the uproar and the noise. And he says this: he that is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. That wise observation, that comment, stunned them all. And it says this: that from the oldest, they all turned their backs and walked away. Wouldn't you love to have wisdom like that? To say the right words at the right time. And how could you possess it? And how can I possess it? Like Solomon, we ask for it. If you lack knowledge, go to school. If you lack wisdom, get on your knees. Later, religious leaders, guards are sent by the religious leaders to bring Jesus to them. And they failed to do it. And they're challenged, why haven't you brought him? And they said, no one ever spoke the way this man does. And if you read through the Gospels on nearly every page, you can see the wisdom of Jesus. Just prior to his crucifixion, he stands before King Herod, who says, plied him with many questions. And it says, but Jesus gave him no answer. And sometimes wisdom is seen by saying nothing, isn't it? Just saying nothing, not even giving a reply. Charles Swindoll, whose books I recommend to you, said, it's far more difficult to gain and acquire wisdom, as man gives knowledge, but God gives wisdom. His observation being that you can have the most intelligent, educated, knowledgeable person on planet Earth who can go nothing, absolutely nothing, about divine things. Somebody said knowledge is knowing what to say. Wisdom is knowing when to say it. And knowledge in your life and mine is not enough to meet the problems that you and I face from day to day. Proverbs has 31 chapters. Most months have 31 days. Why not make it a discipline from today? Maybe you're already doing it. To read one chapter of Proverbs a day. I've timed it. Take you less than 5 minutes. And when you've reached and come to chapter 31, what do you do then? You go back to chapter 1 and start all over again. If you read Proverbs and digest what you're reading, it's been said you can't help but be wealthy, healthy, and wise. Though it cost all you have, though it cost all you have, get understanding. Esteem her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will be a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. As a Christian here this morning, and I know I'm speaking to many of you, wisdom should be something that we should prioritize and seek. And I'm speaking to my own heart, by the way. Why? Why should we prioritize wisdom in your life and in mine? The main reason, the number one reason, is that it pleases our God. When Solomon asked for wisdom, what was God's response? The Lord was pleased that Solomon asked for this. What's another reason? Oh, God help me. There's been times in your life and mine when we've made that emergency cry, and rightly so. But it should be a cry that we make on a daily basis. We need divine support each and every day. And that was Solomon's plea of long ago. Why are we focusing on wisdom this morning? Because you need it for what life throws your way. You need wisdom in your home. You need wisdom in your family. You need wisdom for raising your children. You need wisdom in your employment. You need wisdom with your finances. It's good to see younger folk here this morning. You need wisdom for your friendships. You need wisdom for your relationships. You need wisdom when you make your career choices. And in the next few years, you're going to make decisions that will change your life for many years. And you need wisdom, and not just knowledge. The list goes on and on. Those who have been given leadership responsibilities, world leaders, national leaders, local leaders. Here in LBC, those who have been given the leadership of this church need wisdom. Tom's soon going to be joining us and leading us and guiding us as we move on. And I'm sure many of us are praying for him. What should you pray for? You pray for wisdom. You pray for wisdom. Above anything else that you think he needs, pray for wisdom. I came across this comment. Quite shook me, really. As never before, our homes, churches, cities, and nations need decisive leaders who will obey the word of God. Let me say that again. As never before, our homes, our churches, our cities, and nations need decisive leaders who will obey the word of God. And it might mean you've got to stand alone. Leaders who will obey the word of God. So pray for Tom, and pray for each other, and pray for wisdom. How do you and I receive God's wisdom? James 1:5 tells us, it's been quoted already interestingly today. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Seeking, wanting, longing, asking for wisdom, as we have been reminded, pleases God. And he generously promises to gift it to you. It's a present. It's his gift to you and to me. Sadly for many, this gift is neglected. And overlooked and not considered the priority that it should be. Someone took a long time to count up the number of God's promises in the Bible, and they missed a few. It came to 7,487 promises. All of them are binding. Not one of them has been rescinded or diluted. They're as true today as they ever have been. And God's promise to you and to me that if you earnestly, persistently seek for divine wisdom, he will give it to you. It remains true. It should be a now and again request when we feel we need it. It's something that we want and need and long for. Every day. He who has a constant longing for wisdom will persistently pray for it. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Well, I suspect, like me, that seeking wisdom, God's wisdom, is something in our lives that's not always been the priority that it should be. We need this reminder this morning to rethink what should be the main focus in our lives each and every day. Yes, I seek wisdom from time to time. Ruth says I need it. When issues are uncertain, but I stand before you and say it's not been a regular, constant, daily cry that it should have been in my life. Lacking wisdom means living as if God doesn't exist. It means conducting everyday affairs with no concern for God, as if God's perspective on the mundane matters of life are not relevant. Walking with care and wisdom means acknowledging the Lord in all our ways. Well, to close, Can I remind you of another quotation? And a promise. When you get home, if you haven't already done it, get the highlight pen out and highlight this verse. Most of you know it. And it's Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will keep your path straight. That's the Message version. I like that. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Amen.